I'm Anthony Brabazon.
And I'm Paul Caffrey.
And this is the God Talk programme for the next half hour on 90.3 Near FM, where we'll be grappling with the big questions of life from a biblical perspective.
Our text number during the programme is 087 69 44 500, and we'd love to hear from you. You can also email us on nearfmgodtalk@gmail.com, and you can get us on Twitter at nearfmgodtalk.
And today, greetings go out to Carl and to Adrian, and also to Manus and Leonidas and Janie, and of course, Billy Jago. I'll be over later for that cup of tea, Billy, so you can start warming that kettle up soon. And thanks also to our podcast staff at Near FM, that's Gary and Paul.
Okay, and I want to send a special greeting today to Alan and Liz Gorman and other friends over there in South Hill. I was chatting to them yesterday, and I know Alan will be listening in with bated breath today. He's really interested to hear the second part of our piece on hearing from God. Also, a special hello to Spencer and Caroline Jones.
Well, I get confused. Is our second or third part? Well, I tell you can never hear God enough. I'll tell you that straight off. And we're very honoured today to have a guest in studio. We have Lizanne. So,
hello.
There Welcome, you go. Lizanne.
So, just get the microphone a little closer to you there so we can fully hear. That's
reinforcements
cool.
for this special bank holiday
well,
program.
Isn't it such a sunny, wonderful day, you know? And, of course, we're grateful to our Creator who put that sun in the sky. And I heard some people say once about the Bible, say, how can you believe an old book? I say, well, look up at the sky. See that sun up there? That's pretty old. But it works, you know. Mm. And the same way we know our God in heaven, he works for us and it works with us. And it's great knowing him personally. But coming to the main theme, what we wanted to touch on today, which is hearing from God. And Lizanne, just to throw something at you straight away, throw you in the deep end, as we like to do with guests, isn't that Paul?
Exactly,
right, Paul?
Yes. You know. So I can take a back seat today.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can swim.
She can swim very well, I have to say. And the issue is, what would you say is the prerequisite to hearing from God? You know, what's the kind of first thing, if you want to clear the decks, to hear the voice of God?
Well, for me, basically, the most important thing is the state of your heart. And it's like, I guess... like this morning, myself and Anthony, we were took the dog up to the forest, and it was a beautiful walk. And it was just, it just occurred to me, if before we went up, I had said to Anthony, "What would you like to do today?" And in my heart, I was thinking, "Gosh, I just hope he says, let's go to Enniskerry. But if he doesn't, maybe I can get some way around him to maybe go to Wicklow at least." Now, if I'd been thinking that and said to you, what would you like to do today? I have an ulterior motive. It's my motive. And I think one of the problems in hearing from God is that we'd all love to hear crystally clear from God. But it's like sometimes, like, the natural tendency is we have things that we want. So we're asking God, but we can sometimes have like, but I'd like to hear this. And like, if you had said to me, oh, well, I think we'll go to Northern Ireland or something, you know, and try to get my own way a bit. So I think the big thing for me is to lay down our own will and to say to God, you know, like what Jesus said, obviously, not my will. And if we clear the decks of our own will, I think it makes it really much easier to hear what he wants.
So it's more than just asking God to validate what we've already decided.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of times when we're asking something like that of God that we really want to hear, it's about big things, life and death things it could be, or who to marry, or, you know, serious things.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh. I couldn't agree with you more, you know, in asking. You know, there has to be a genuineness about it, Paul, don't you think so?
Yeah.
You know, you can't be...
It's. I suppose it's what we said last week. It's really based on our it's relationship, isn't it? I mean, what you're talking about there, Lizanne, is your relationship. So it's your communication, and you want to please the other person, and you want to know what they want. And unless people are willing to talk, unless the other party is willing to listen, there's not much going to happen. But I want to come back again to that quotation that I gave us last time. We kind of finished with this from my old pal Oswald Chambers, that great writer.
That's right.
And he says, when you're rightly related to God, he said, it's a life of freedom and liberty and delight. He says, you are God's will, and all your common sense decisions are his will for you unless he checks. You decide things in perfect, delightful friendship with God, knowing if your decisions are wrong, he will always check. When he checks, stop at once. And I know Lizanne was asking me something about that earlier on, weren't you, Lizanne?
Yeah, I was saying, what are checks?
Yeah. Good yeah. question.
What are they?
Yeah, how would you know a Czech, as you call it?
Well, you know, even just somebody that doesn't think about spiritual things at all, you decide to do something and something in you says, no, this isn't the right thing to do. The people will say, I didn't feel good about it. I had a gut feeling something was wrong. I was about to do it. And I just knew some was like as if there was a kind of a stop sign up in front of me, or as if a sort of inside a barrier came down and I felt a certain sense, no, you're not meant to do this.
Yeah, I was once driving a car in Terre Neuve, and there was a funny confusion on the road signs about turning right. And I thought, I really wanted to turn right, you know, and there wasn't too many cars around. So I thought, sure, I'll turn right. But I didn't feel fully comfortable by turning right just there. And so lo and behold, didn't the police car pull me in and give me a few penalty points for my efforts? And, you know, so that was confirmation that I did have a check. I shouldn't have, you know, there was a feeling that. And yet
you
just,
and you said afterwards, I really knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I mean, people will often say
probably
this.
All have stories like that.
Yeah, about different situations. And they say afterwards, you know, I really knew something inside me said I shouldn't have done that. And this is not just for people who are believers. We were talking earlier on about common grace, you know. Yeah. God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. The sun that's shining today is for everybody, whether they acknowledge the Creator or not. And the same way God can give those checks, those leadings and those prompts to people who don't even acknowledge him. That's his grace. We're common grace. Is what the theologians call it.
Mm. Yeah, wow. Well, look, what we did in the last program is we looked at how not to hear from God, mm-hmm. which was very important and valid. It was about going to witches and going to seances and going to horoscopes and all the things that are forbidden in the Word of God, you know. And yet, there is a right way to hear from God. So, do you want to start? You know, one of the ways is simply to pray.
Yeah, and we talked about that. You know, that's, and it's, you see, we don't always have to pray about it. You don't have to pray, am I going to have my breakfast today? Am I going to go to work today? There are all sorts of things that we just, our path is mapped out for us. But if we have a decision to make about something in particular, the thing to do is, as the psalmist or the book of Proverbs says, commit your way to the Lord, you know. Proverbs
probably most importantly, we don't have to pray about sin, you know. No, say, Lord, do I get to murder this person or not?
But if there's something that you need, I mean, I noted down these 8 points from another old-timer, Henry Drummond, a Scottish, he was a scientist, writer, philosopher. And the first thing he says, if you want to know God's will, the first thing is you pray. And that can be a very simple prayer. Lord, I don't know, show me. You know, there are lots of prayers in the Psalms. Show me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy paths, and so on. But the second point he has, which I really like, is think. And a lot of people don't do enough of that, you know. God has given us brains, he's given us intelligence, given us minds to think the thing through. So very often the answer comes just through thinking something through.
Yeah, there's a song Johnny Cash has. We're not going to play it today, maybe some other time, but it's about being, what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? But it's about being of no earthly good. What's that phrase? You're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good.
I haven't met too many people like that.
And what have you found in your experience, Lizanne, about people who kind of don't think, you know, and how that affects the wayward way that they think they've heard from God, but they're not using their brains?
Well, I guess the thing is we can rush in like, you know, fools rushing in, but the thinking takes time. And I was thinking, you can't hear what somebody wants without, as Paul says, praying. So that's asking God. And then if you ask somebody something, he might not reply right away. So, you know, he might reply through your thoughts or lead you in your thinking to a certain conclusion. But the big thing for me is leaning on him after that. You might have to wait.
Yeah.
I'm sure Paul is more.
Yeah,
this
no,
line.
But exactly, not to rush into something. And the third point that this man, Henry Drummond, had, he says, talk to wise people, but do not regard their decisions as final. Like the scripture again says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So if I'm trying to make up a decision, for example, about what college course to take or about a job application, should I apply for this or not? Well, it doesn't make sense for me just to be doing my praying and doing my thinking on my own if I know that a telephone call to this or that person will give me information that I need or will give me good counsel or advice. I mean, I think, again, that sounds so kind of basic. He says, talk to wise people, but do not regard their decisions as final. So you can't get someone else to take your decisions. And sometimes there are believers in church situations and they want their pastor or their priest or whoever it is to make their decisions for them. Again, it's an immaturity. They're afraid to make their own decisions and they want to say, what do you think I should do? And you may say, well, I think you should do this, but, you know, you've got to decide. It's your decision.
Yeah, I mean, being indecisive is it can be a great weakness. You know, I remember years ago we borrowed a load of videos of the early Star Trek movies and the Captain Kirk. These are real classics now. And one thing that really struck me, I'd never noticed it before, was Captain Kirk was so decisive. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was a real hero as a result. Now, it's not that he made all the right decisions, but he could decide. And I think it's a characteristic of today that people are indecisive about just about everything, you know.
Yeah.
And yet, God, if you're led by the Lord, if you have a relationship with him, you know, you can be, without being arrogant and proud, you know, once you've submitted your plans to the Lord, once you walk humbly with him, you know, you can be decisive about matters. And you don't have to be afraid of making mistakes. You know, God's bigger than your mistakes. Mm. He can re-correct you, redirect you. But that's something that's just kind of, sure, I'm very conscious of. And I really respect it in people who are decisive. Not always comfortable when their decision is against you, but
no, but it's good. It's a good quality, and it's good also in terms of children. It's much better to see a child. You have kids. You see them growing up. You're much happier if they're able to make good decisions. Mm-hmm. It's terrible to watch somebody being indecisive and torn and not able to make up their mind. It's painful to watch as well as I'm sure painful for the person. The other one, the next point that our friend Henry Drummond gives, and I like this one. He says, "Beware of the bias of your own will, but do not be too much afraid of it, because God never unnecessarily thwarts a man's nature and likings, and it's a mistake to think that God's will is in the line of the disagreeable."
Brilliant.
How about that?
Very good.
So be aware of your bias. Just be aware if you have a certain tendency to opt for certain things or go a certain direction. But don't be too much. Don't be afraid of it either, because God doesn't necessarily thwart. I remember one time I wanted to do a particular course. I wanted to go back to college and do some study. And I was, that was what I really, what my heart wanted. And mm-hmm. that was the bias of my will. But because of the situation I was in at the time, I was kind of afraid of it because I liked it too much. I thought, this is something I'm going to enjoy, and therefore it couldn't be God's will. There's a certain kind of Christianity that and there are Catholic and Protestant varieties of it, I have to say, you know, where people think if I like it, it can't be God.
Must be a hair shirt thrown in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you should be suffering.
Yeah, sure. Mm. So in other words, be realized that the desires of your heart, God gives you those, and he has put desires, he's given you that. So the bias of your will, he says, just be careful of the bias of your will.
Well, I would think the most important prerequisite is having a heart devoted to the Lord, you know, that you love him, right? And out of that, God can really bring about the good things.
Sure.
It's just, if you're a rebel, you see, if you hate God and if you don't have his way or anything like that, I'm guaranteed you're going to go astray with your decisions.
Yeah, because if the basic direction of your life is wrong, well, you can't expect that God is going to help you with those day-to-day things.
So Paul, tell us more about hearing from God, because really this is so critical, you know, that we would walk. See, if we have a relationship with God, you know, we can talk to him, that's prayer, you know, but the other side was listening and hearing.
And some of that is just listening to other people, talk to wise people, as he said, and then beware of the bias of your own will. And the next one then he had, which I really like, he says, meanwhile, do the next thing. Doing God's will in small things is the best preparation for knowing it in great things. In other words, you just do what needs to be done. And it's kind of interesting looking in the scriptures, for example, at accounts of God's dramatic intervention in people's lives. For example, the call of Moses. He was minding his father-in-law's flocks. The Apostle Paul was going about what he thought was God's will, which was persecuting the Christians. And then when he called him to go on that first missionary journey with Barnabas, again, they were praying, they were waiting on God. We don't know that they were specifically looking for guidance about anything. They were just doing the daily thing when God kind of came down and moved in. So he says, do the next thing, for doing God's will in small things is the best preparation for knowing it in great things. And then he says, and I like this one, when decision and action are necessary, go ahead. That's where that being decisive comes in. You have to do something, you just say, okay, this is the best, this seems the right thing to do, I'm going to do it, and you do it. Lisanne, you wanted to ask something or say something about that?
No, I just have a sense in my heart that there's people out there or somebody out there who just really wants to know, like, and this kind of saying to themselves, could God really speak to me? And one of my favourite people, David Pawson, said this. He said, this is when he was a kind of a young preacher, and he was a bit concerned, how would he hear from God? And he said, he thought to himself, look, if I was in an office and the boss came in, the boss would give me clear instructions. And like what you're saying, he thought to himself, I'm going to go ahead. And when God instructs me, I trust it'll be clear. And here's my thing that's really on my heart, is that God will and wants to instruct us. He will and he wants to lead us. Like we so long, how will we find out what God, how will we find out what God wants? And my thing is that on the other side of it is that God wants to lead us and direct us. And if we can just settle our hearts and get our hearts right and put aside our own things, is that he will. Like, let's trust him. God will answer you. He will lead you. Just trust him and listen. Wait. Listen. And if he tells you to do something, go ahead. Be decisive. Just trust him.
Yeah. And I love the scripture which says, you know, we are a sheep, we do hear his voice. And that's a promise, you know, that we're going to hear the shepherd, Jesus being the shepherd, that we can hear it. There's a lot of people think that it's impossible to hear God. I think, how can I hear God? Well, I remember once I was speaking somewhere and I, as an illustration, I got about 3 radios and I put them on different channels, you know, so there was this cacophony of sound. And I said, well, how can you hear anything? And then I slowly turned them off one by one and you were left with a single station with a single voice. And I think our lives are a bit like that often, that you're hearing lots of voices and you need to tune out the other ones to hear the still, quiet voice of the Lord. Now, where was that scripture where God spoke not in the earthquake or not in the
yeah, that
tempest?
Was to Elijah in the book of Kings, wasn't it?
Yeah, and how did he speak in the end of the day, Paul?
A still, small voice.
Yeah.
So it was really in the quiet.
Yeah, that's really good. God, a big God, but he often speaks with a small voice. So listen.
Yeah.
Oh, the prophet Samuel, like God spoke in night time, he just heard a voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. Mm. He called him by name. And it's interesting, again, looking through the scripture, the number of times God will actually speak to somebody by name because it's personal, he knows us. The other one, I said, when decision, action are necessary, go ahead. Another point that Drummond had, it's almost the end of his list, and I really like this. He says, never reconsider the decision when it's finally acted upon. A lot of people just spend a lot of their lives going back, vain regrets. Did I do the right thing? Should I have done this? And I just think once the thing is done, you can't undo it and you just trust God. Somebody said one time, God can write straight on crooked lines, that even if, you know, even if we make a mistake, that nothing is impossible for God. You say, Lord, I've done the best I know here, and then you just get on with it, and you don't kind of. I know I'm terrible for second guessing. What if I had done this? Should I have done that? Should I have gone there? Was this the right thing? Was that the right thing? And that's total waste of time.
Paul, even a sat nav will correct your moves. How much more God?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and the sat nav never gives out to you. Do you ever take a wrong turn with the sat nav? It doesn't say you
go
to the roof. It doesn't say you big Egypt.
Go to the roof.
Yeah,
go to the next roundabout.
Well, it does a recalibration, it says. And that's what God does all the time. He recalibrates with our lives because we often take a wrong turn, you know, and the Lord recalibrates.
And he is sovereign. He can work. He works all the circumstances of our lives. It says he causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, which comes back again to what we said about relationship. If we're in good relationship with him, he will work out the circumstances of our life and even things that we think were big mistakes.
Yeah.
He used them for good.
And maybe you don't know God at all and you never heard his voice at all. And where on earth are you going to start hearing from God? The simple thing is that bring your heart before God and talk to him. And the simple thing is to open his word. He speaks primarily from his word. And he can even speak to you. He might speak about things he doesn't like.
You mean the Bible, yeah.
Yeah, the Bible. Yeah. You mightn't like some of the things. Like he might speak to you about things like sin that he doesn't like. But All of it is God. So even if you're not a Christian, even if you don't know him, God does desire to speak.
Yeah, and you say, you read it in the Bible and, you know, you say, where do I get a Bible? Well, actually, if you have a smartphone, you can get a free Bible.
Sure.
It just, there's a Bible.com is the website. You can download for free. They're fantastic. And lots of guides and everything in there. So,
Just can I bring in one last point from this?
Of course
list
you can.
And this is the one I like, because this is really reassuring. He says, again, Henry Drummond, he says, you will probably not find out till afterwards, perhaps long afterwards, that you have been led at all. And that's a really reassuring. Sometimes you look back and you say, you know, I did that, I went there, and I didn't realise how important that was going to be in my life. Some small decision.
But that's fantastic. You know, it's like somebody, I heard this story once, I may not tell it very well, but it was somebody watching somebody doing a tapestry, but they were looking at the back of it, and it looked like a complete mess of knots and colours, and it didn't really make any sense. And it was only when it was finished that the person doing it turned it around, and it was a beautiful picture. And life is like that very often. Mm-hmm. We're just seeing the mess. And we think it's meaningless and there's no direction.
Yeah,
and yet, at the end of the day, we'll see that God had a plan and worked it out. Anyway, Paul, we're going to wrap up with a prayer from Jesus' prayer book. It's called the Psalms.
Okay.
And this week we have, what do we have?
Psalm 25. And it's a prayer about someone looking to God for leading and for guidance. Mm. Okay. Psalm 25, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your steadfast love, O Lord, and your mercy, they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness and law, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way.
Yeah, you're listening to God Talk on 90.3 Near FM, and we're here every Monday at not just bank holidays, we're here every Monday, Paul. And we're delighted to have our guest, Lizanne, with us today. And remember, you can catch up on this programme and prior programmes on the podcasts. They're on nearfm.ie, the website. And again, we have our text line, which is open 24/7. It's 087-979-5454 for comments, questions or prayer requests even we're taking. And I forgot to say in my shout outs to Mick O'Brien, who does a fantastic programme on a Sunday morning.
Okay.
And hi to you, Mick. I know you're probably walking your two dogs, and maybe I'll walk my one dog one day with your two dogs, and we'll have a bit of fun there. So anyway, thank you very much, listeners, for listening to the God Talk programme, and God bless you.
Good evening, listeners.
Wonderful evening.
God bless you.